Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Dope Science Show. This is Stephanie, also known as Science Stuff with Steph, episode 2. I talked to my good friend Damien Swabey. He's a filmmaker in the UK. We talk about film. We talk about science. What is biohacking? We talk about is biohacking good, bad? Is it pushing the elements in regards to what humanity should be doing? Elements? Maybe I should say limits. We're expanding our boundaries. Anyways, I am rambling, and I hope you guys enjoy the show. This is a work in progress. I recorded this a few weeks ago, actually, but I'm just now releasing it. So, thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Hello?
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Brilliant. Great stuff.
All right. Thank you so much, Damien. I appreciate you coming on the show, the Dope Science Show. What time is it there? It's noon?
Yeah.
Noonish?
10 past 12, so it's lunchtime here.
Oh, man. It's 4:10 a.m. here.
Wow.
So I appreciate you.
I'm honored and privileged that you would fit me in at such a early hour.
Well, I mean, you are across the world, so you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, how I know you is I think we met on Instagram, right?
Yes.
And I wanted to bring you on the show because I've been following you for a while and watching you work and put out videos, and I've been really impressed by the quality of your eye and your direction in your videos.
Thanks.
And I thought it would be cool to just find out a little bit more about you, what kind of projects you're working on, and just anything that comes to mind. So that being said, can you tell us who you are, like, just a little bit more about what you do?
Well, I started out more in narrative films, but that hasn't... But then I've moved on to more to doing corporate videos and documentaries. I love, like, being a cinematographer more than probably anything else, but editing is a part of what I do now as well. As well in casting for, you know, commercials or and things like that. I enjoy doing all of those things, but I really, really like doing documentaries. I'm doing one now. I'm editing one at the moment. I finished shooting it for the Black Lives Matter movement because we had a rally in the UK.
Oh, wow. I think I saw that was going on simultaneously with the protests that we had going on in the States.
Yeah, you know, we were, when you guys were having yours, we were having ours.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's not amazing, but it's good to see how the movement's international. I don't say amazing just because, you know, there's the Black diaspora, so we're everywhere. Yeah. And so we have some of similar challenges as far as how we deal with mainstream society. Yeah. And so... It's just good to see the solidarity in the movement, even though they are they're all separate, independent organizations that are under an umbrella of a common philosophy of Black Lives Matter. But it's still like it really makes at least myself and probably other African Americans just feel supported, like
this is a worldwide change that can happen if we're all pushing for it. So I'm so glad that you're documenting it. And it's really interesting to see it from, like, an international perspective.
I hope it will be. I hope when you think it's interesting. So
are you doing that on your own, or are you working with activists? Are you shadowing anyone?
No, 9 times out of 10 when I do projects, I'm a one-man band. So I'm, you know, shooting, editing, interviewing, audio. I'm pretty much a one-man band. Not that, but I don't recommend people be one-man bands if they can't. I mean, if they've got other options. I always, like, if I ever do, like, a film studies class or something, I'm very much of the belief that if you can find good people to work with, do so. And if you can do that on a regular basis, it's a much, much better way to work.
I agree. I think I tend to be a one-person band one as well, and it's more I think me not networking enough. I think I tend to not network enough, and that's something I want to change and reach out and collaborate more. It just makes you more, I think, effective and more timely, because you're not doing it all by yourself and you can't procrastinate, you know.
But that's one of the problems as well. It's like if you spend your time networking, you might not be spending your time actually doing the stuff.
Yikes.
And networking is such a big thing in that sense that I find networking on social media to be a lot more productive than actually going to networking parties or events.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how would you network? What would you do?
I think social media is, I've had a lot more success meeting people and reaching out via social media than I have in person. I feel like in person people are often more standoffish or shy or awkward. And so they don't make that step to reach out, but they'll do it like behind a screen. But I have found that you make that first contact online and then meet offline as soon as you can to collaborate on a project, you know. I find that to be effective, like the combination. I've met people at parties and I go to a lot, not a lot, but I try to meet people in person, just because I get energy from being in a social aspect. You know?
Yeah, definitely. You bounce off each other. It's healthy for creative people, I think, to be around other creative people physically. You're right.
It is. It really is. I feel like it's just a boost of inspiration when I'm around other people. I don't feel as isolated. But I do find that actually connecting on a personal level is easier online, which seems so weird because it should be easier in person. But it seems like breaking the ice online is easier. And then building a relationship, it takes more as far as a voice at the very least, you know. And being in person is awesome as well. But I'm still pretty isolated. So that's all the little, you know, bits I've had as far as being working with other people. But I do think it's a balance is like the perfect sauce, you know.
Yes. You're dead right there.
So, back to the Black Lives video. When is that coming out? Do you have
good question? it should have been done already, to be honest. But as I work in a lot of corporate video and things like that, I've had those videos to shoot and edit as well. So I've been run under my feet in terms of getting it finished. But I hope to have it finished on Monday.
Oh, wow.
But that's a big hope. I mean, but I hope to have it finished on Monday. And I've got, you know, a couple of distributors in mind to get it distributed, similar to some of my other documentaries and films. So the trailer will be out by next week for certain.
Awesome. So. And where are you going to put it on? All the social media as far as your trailer, ask people to share it.
Oh, the trailer, yeah. The talking of social media, actually, yeah, there'll be an Instagram trailer. And then there'll be like the trailer that will be done for Vimeo that I'll put on like Twitter. I don't really use Facebook. I've got a Facebook page. My friend sorts that out, but I don't really use it that much. I'm more of a Twitter, Instagram, social media user. So,
which is cool.
I'll be putting that out there, and hopefully, you know, people like it. I'm really interested to see and to hear what Americans are going to think of it, because I'm literally doing it in a sense that from an American point of view, from to show America and so Americans can see how things are here, because our police don't have any guns.
Right. So everyone thinks it's safer, which it should be, right?
Yeah. And from what I'm seeing, to, you know, the police, I'm not giving them credit in Britain in, or whatever, but it does come across as it's a lot safer here. And I'd put that a large part down to the guns, because some of the videos, I saw one video the other day where the black guy was laying on his back and he was shouting, "I haven't got a gun."
Yeah.
An autistic kid. And the police shot him. And that's...
I know. That was so, like... Oh, God. It's, like, so tiring and, like, so despicable.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see the videos. I don't watch them. I just, like, read the description and other people tell me. I don't watch them anymore because it's just, like, it hurts, you know, to see that. But I do think the videos being out are helping change the narrative and are being able to be used for change, hopefully. I've seen change among my, like, non-black coworkers, in particular, like, white people. Yeah,
what
I've seen...
What were they saying before?
Before? Oh, my gosh. Like, I felt like you weren't allowed to question or criticize the police because that's just like a black thing to do.
Wow.
Like, you know, like, oh, we're just complainers, you know, but, you know, the police are unquestionable. Of course they arrested your brother or stopped him. I mean, he had to be doing something, or at least he looked like he was doing something, right? And since, you know, black people do stuff, it's reasonable to like stop and question and harass black people. Like, that was just the ongoing like narrative of my own life, actually, before the Black Lives Matter movement started. And I would say more recently, after the recent years of video after video after video, you know, at first people were always trying to look for an excuse, but because the numbers are so high, and that just corresponds with the number of people who have cell phones,
yeah,
and the ability to do an instant recording, you can't help but see that it's more systematic than that. It's not just a unicorn event, you know? And so now I see people starting to, like, non-black people starting to question, you know, are police being held accountable? You know, I mean, dang, that guy was on his back. You know, they're like, oh, my gosh. Like, it went from, I think, Philo Castile, I think that's how you say his name, or Philo Castile, the guy who got shot with his girlfriend in a car, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, definitely.
When that happened, like, that was, like, a big turning point for a lot of, like, white people.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay, they couldn't find anything to, like, criticize him about. Like, they searched, well, you know, and for real, like, people were, like, scrubbing, looking for what they could say that would, like, validate that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. And then they're like, maybe there is a problem. And then, you know, the guy who got shot... the guy who got shot last week was another person who they perceived to be innocent. And so, like, you couldn't find anything. I mean, he's a caretaker, for God's sake. You know, like, he and people are very sensitive about people who help disabled people or people who have, like, challenges. And so they identified with him. And so there was an outcry again. And I feel like the tide has changed where people were starting to feel like, yes, police should be held accountable. So I think that's a positive thing, at the very least, where I can speak. I felt so censored and oppressed when I would go to work and it's like someone died and I felt like I couldn't mention it. Like, we can talk about anything else but like that. And it would just, it's just hard, you know, especially being the only black person, and you're like,
gosh, yeah,
you know, this just happened. It's, you know, it just felt like I couldn't talk about anything that was happening that was major news for me and my community, you know?
Yeah.
So it is hard. But on that note, let's take a break and then we'll come back. Okay.
Sure thing. Isn't that crazy? And a heaven of people, there's only someone to fly. Isn't that crazy? Cause in a world full of people, there's only someone to fly. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. Crazy, yeah, yeah, oh, 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 yeah, love, 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 love.
So, yeah, it would really be interesting to see what impact or perspective Americans can get from seeing the Black Lives Movement abroad. I wanted to say one more thing. I do think there's a big difference between the British black experience with the police versus the American.
Huge.
You know,
it's a huge difference.
And I think, you know, it's a hugely different because just a different, like, culture as far as guns being a major part of, like, American history and culture.
Yeah.
You know, being independent and considered Wild Wild West or whatever, you know, a frontier man, you know, as well as we can't ignore, you know, slavery wasn't that long ago. Jim Crow, you know, then we had the war on drugs, you know, and so there's like a long history of black people being oppressed and policed with terror and guns. And so it's hard for people to think of the police not having guns because that's been such a long standing part of the police, like, community.
Get rid of guns.
You know, there is pressure for Americans, police to get rid of guns, but I don't see that happening like in my lifetime. Like, because the people who join the police mostly are former military people and people who feel like very strongly about their Second Amendment rights. And so they have guns on the job and they have like assault weapons off the job. Like they collect guns, like guns are like a major aspect. And we have the whole militant aspect about American societies where as well, everyone feels like, hey, when there is a race war, then they want to be ready. Like that's a major narrative. Or when there's, when the government comes and gets us, like Americans are very paranoid. And so they want to have their guns. And I think at the very least, you know, get rid of the assault weapons, for citizens. And I am demilitarized the police, but we make so much, like, the weapons industry is the American weapons industry is the largest distributor of ammunition and guns in the world and weapons. Like, that's how we make money. And so, like, that's, like, America's very money motivated. So it's just, like, I don't see how the guns will leave. But I do hope people can be held accountable. Like, I do think at the very least, our laws should be taking into account what's going on in society, you know?
That sounds right.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, you know, this is a science-based show. We talk about politics. We talk about, you know, art, life, sex, whatever. But
let's talk about
it. I always want to, like, I escape to science, and I use science, to, honestly, as a form of escapism as well.
Okay.
As being, you know, productive and interesting, because I get overwhelmed with, like, real life diaspora, as well as, like, dystopian, like, things. It's hard for me, like, not to get, you know, cynical. So I'm like, all right, let's, like, go to Star Trek, and let's, like, let's, like, go read a science article about teleporting our particles. So maybe one day. So, that being said, do you have an interest in science? Do you anything? Do you have any experience? What are your feelings about science?
My feelings about science. Wow. Well, I watched X-Men yesterday. If that if that's anything scientific.
I think so.
Yeah, Days of Future Past. I watched. But seriously, science.
How was it?
I liked it. I liked it. I like Magneto. And Charles, their kind of debates and friendship and feud, you know, both
have, awesome.
You know, both have strong points. You know, that's the main thing for me. I used to read X-Men as a kid, and mm-hmm. The comic books, and you know, Magneto. I really get him.
Okay, so I've never watched X-Men.
I
know, I suck at, like, what is it, like, pop culture? Like, I'm there's such a big gap between my exposure to what everyone's watching. So I'm always, like, living vicariously, like, oh, tell me about X-Men, and I might watch it in 20 years. But tell me real quick, like, isn't there, it's like a war between mainstream society or the government and, like, mutants, right? Because mutants have, like, powers, right?
Yeah, so, like, in a nutshell, you've got X-Men, or you've got mutants. They're, like, the new form of humans. They've you know, cells and things inside their body have changed and allow them to have superpowers. But the government, you know, is wary, and various people of, like, the national security are wary of people having superpowers, because obviously you can do what you want to a certain degree. And so they want them killed, dead. They want them all gone. And I said Martin Luther King. And Agnico said, is basically like, look, they're going to kill us, so let's kill them before they kill us.
And who is this?
Magneto. He's one of the most powerful mutants in the world. And then you've got Professor Xavier, who's also one of the most powerful mutants in the world, who's more like, no, we should all come together. We should be, you know, we should not try and kill each other. So in a sense, Professor Xavier is more of a Martin Luther King, and Magneto is more Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So Magneto's more like, you know, you're an idiot, because if you don't try and kill these people when they attack us. Whereas Professor Xavier's like, no, let's not kill anyone, you know. I mean, don't fight back in that way. That's his more philosophy.
And what side are you on?
Magneto.
You're like, Magneto. It just makes sense.
I'm not being killed. No, I'll defend myself. Yeah, I'm with Magneto. But to be fair, in the end of the film, Xavier's proven right.
Hey, is this new? Should I, like, tell people spoiler?
Oh, sorry. No, it's not new. I think it's
okay.
But that's the thing with these Marvel films. To be honest, I don't watch most of them. Like, I like X-Men because I read the comics as a kid. But there's so many of them, and they come out at such a pace now. There's no gap between these films. I don't even know if the one I watched was new or old.
Right? I have heard that. They're just like, bam, 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 bam. Like, they're almost like television shows in a way where...
Like a soap opera once a week or something. Because I was just going through Netflix. I thought, I'm like yourself. I don't always know what the new things are and the new films. People talk about House of Cards or Game of Thrones or whatever. I haven't watched either. So I just thought...
Me either.
Yeah. I just thought, let me see what's out there. And I thought, oh, I like X-Men, so I watched that. So there should Yeah, sorry, maybe I shouldn't have said the end. But
oh no, it's fine. I was just checking. I mean, if it's been out, people catch up.
Yeah, catch up. It's on Netflix. It, you know.
If it's on Netflix, that's not new. Okay, so tell me what happened.
So yeah, it was a good film. But in for me anyway, I know people might not like it. I don't know. There's always critics everywhere now. But in terms of science, I remember doing science in school. And I quite enjoyed it, but I was just messing about all the time.
Yeah, so you were into it, but you were, like, goofing off in class, so it was just, like, didn't have your focus?
Yeah, I was just at the back of the class playing wrestling or reading the Echo magazine, you know.
So then you would say it wasn't that engaging. It was just, like, lecture format with some, like, labs.
Yeah, I don't want to blame the teachers, but I think one of them was very from another time. So her style of teaching and engaging us was probably 30 years out of date. Not that, you know, I'm saying she was a rubbish teacher. It's just the way it was. And the other one, he was cool, but he used to get so frustrated with us, which is understandable because my class wouldn't have been a walk in a park.
I bet.
So yeah, you know, I've since then I don't know. It's not in terms. I'm so filled and kind of, without sounding silly, I'm so kind of creative and art based. Something like science, I don't know why. It's just gone over the top of my head in that way.
You know, it's I was like distracted. I was going to say, I totally get it, like, going through school, I was not really into science, like, it was there, but it just wasn't that engaged, and it was just tedious to me, and I just didn't feel, like, inspired by it, and not until I went and took, like, science classes later in life as an adult, and I would say, I think a major issue is the lack of engagement. Like, it's really the way most teachers teach.
Yeah.
They're just trained to, like, you know, give you a lecture, ask a couple of questions, maybe, if they're knowledgeable themselves, and and then, like, do some, like, assignments. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, like, a society that our educators were like our celebrities, you know, like your teacher was like the funniest. He could rap, he could dance, you know, like he was like a Drake or something like that. And Rihanna was your teacher. Okay, well, maybe not so hot and sexy, but some sort of mixture, you know, where you're like, okay, your teacher was cool. You know, we all had that teacher who everyone liked. You know, whether he be history or whatever,
so
there was always
that. Did you have a crush on one of the teachers?
Yes. No, I wish I did. I really do. In college, but not in, like, high school or anything younger. But I had some cool teachers. I had a few, you know, where that was, like, the cool teacher everyone liked. Yeah. It would be great if we had more teachers like that and they taught science or math so you were engaged. I think it makes a major difference. And what else was I going to say? And then I would say that's what motivates me to do the show is I want people to, like, feel comfortable talking about science, not because they're, like, the most learned, is that a word? Most learned or educated person, but because it interests them and they're not intimidated by it. It's not some foreign elitist, like, thing, you know? Go ahead.
No, so that's a great way to put it. See, if people see it as elitist, because going back to when you said about teachers being cool, it almost felt like the science teachers, for whatever reason, were not even allowed to be viewed as cool. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
The PE teacher may be cool.
Exactly.
but a music teacher may be cool, you know. But when it comes to science or say, maths, those teachers are always kind of in a box. I don't know if they put themselves in a box of uncool, or we subconsciously as children or even adults put that was such a box of uncool, you know. It may have changed now, but...
You know, that's why their Bill Nye the Science Guy was super popular, even though I didn't really like it. Sorry, Bill. Just because, again, they would play it, and that was the time to, like, talk with my friends. Like, I didn't watch that on my own. Oh. But it still was cool, Bill Nye the Science Guy. And now we have Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he's awesome. So that's cool. So I feel like we're in a new era where science is, like, becoming cool as people advance with technology and things don't seem as far-fetched, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a break, and then I'll be right back.
Coolio.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
This is so fun.
It is.
I could see how these, like, interviews can, or like, I will listen to podcasts all the time, and some of them, you know, are like an hour, some are like 2 hours. They're like, I just went with it, you know.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, so art is very connected to science, and hopefully I'll be able to show that more, because I see people think there's a distinction. Science is a practice, a discipline, but it's also like a philosophy, you know, or I'm making this up, but of what it's like a philosophy that I call science that about curiosity and questions and experiments and discovery. So, and it's creative, you know? And so I think people tend to box everything into categories because that's how humans are. And but I want to always try to blur the lines between, like, art, music, and science. And roundabout way, I did wanted to talk about transhumanism. I think I'm going to have to triple check. I think that's like where you're beyond human. Maybe like
X-Men.
Yeah, like X-Men. I'm like, let me Google this real quick. Transhumanism. I've heard this a lot because my mom talks about it a lot. What does this say? It says, the belief or theory that the human race can evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations, especially by means of science and technology. So there's this belief that that is where we're moving to. That's what Google is designed to do as far as developing artificial intelligence and blurring the lines between being able to tell who's human and who's not. And you know, I'm not sure if you heard of biohacking. Have you heard of that?
Oh, no.
That's where people are experimenting. Sorry, my phone. People are experimenting with like different, let me look that up so I can explain it. Biohacking. The activity of exploiting genetic material experimentally without regard to accepted ethical standards or for criminal purposes. So there's a whole movement of people who are doing experiments with different bacteria and different nanoparticles and just different aspects of like genetic as and material, technical material, I don't know how you, like electronics and things that they can implant into their human body to see what will happen.
Is it similar to, I don't know if you saw the thing with a guy, he had his hand chopped off, but they're able to replace the hand with a robotic hand, and he controls it with his mind. So it's not
like, yeah.
He's got a separate electronic control to control the hand. He uses his mind to actually go and pick up the glass or to pick up a pen.
It's similar to that, but they're doing more genetic hacking. Recently, China is doing some sort of new genetic DNA experiment thing that only they can do.
To change someone's DNA.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, the future is people are going to be like you said, like mutants. And X-Men is like very relevant to where we seem to be going. I read an article about a stingray that is a fake stingray that was built, you know, with plastics and different materials and things like that. But it has a living beating heart that was built from stem cells.
Whoa, that is scary.
And it moves, and it does its thing, and that is kind of, see, you said it's scary. My mom finds it scary. And why is it scary? You know,
I think it's scary because, all right, we've got skills as scientists or what's it not, and we've got the technology and engineering and everything. But I think it might be a bit dangerous when human beings start to try and play God. And I don't mean in terms of, I'm being a Bible basher. I mean, in terms of being a creator. That's the better word to use. When human beings are trying to be an almighty creator rather than saying God. Because how far will human beings go? And can people in power be trusted to have that much power?
Valid questions. And that is why I get scared. Because I'm like, I'm all about science, but at the same time, it's more like a curiosity thing, you know, and I want to see it be used for good, but I'm not necessarily under the impression that the more technological, I don't necessarily believe that the more advanced we are with technology, that means our society is evolving. We might even be devolving, you know, like in sense of, okay, now we're becoming creators, but we're like flawed. And just like you see things wrong now in society, just add like DNA mutations, you know? So for instance, China, they're going to rewrite human DNA using a new tool that they've developed. They've already edited DNA in human embryos, so that would be considered biohacking. But
why would they rewrite DNA? Is that to make sure people are born without diseases or infirmities?
That is the story. Yes, so there's the positive aspect of we want to do it for advancing medicine. Like, that's the number one reason. And the other aspect is, well, what kind of things can we do to make a human better, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where you both, you know, that's where you get into, like, dark waters, like, what's better?
That some Chinese, not all, but some might say, how can we make sure if people have mixed race Chinese children, they look only Chinese?
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Anything.
Yeah. It's scary. But
it could be ethnic cleansing. It could be, how do we make sure we're taller than the rest of the world? Actually,
yeah.
If you've got taller people with broader shoulders, they'll become better soldiers. We can start an army.
Exactly.
You know, that's why I get a bit like, you know, in terms of technology or curing disease, with science, I think it's great. But I think when we start, even 20 years ago, when they when they cloned a sheep,
yeah,
I still just think, And, you know,
there was a big outcry.
Yeah, because the sheep, you know, it had all its joints and stuff. It had like a grandma sheep style kind of bone structure, but a baby sheep body. And you know, why do we need cloned sheep?
We don't. We really don't. We don't need it. even though I'm into science, I'm also about like simple natural living. Yeah. So I'm like, we don't need it. You know, I believe it's okay to die. Like, like it's okay to like let nature do what it does. You know.
I mean, I'm a call for manipulating. Obviously, I'm not a scientist. I don't know, but the idea of solar power, I think, is great. Mm-hmm. Because obviously electricity and gas and, you know, fossil fuels, these things are all going to, you know, we might have issues with. So, you know, solar power, manipulating things in a scientific way, using soil, wind, you know, I'm sounding like a green voter, but I'm not.
That's fine.
But that is fine. I know your Green Party in America is quite small. Is that, you know, is it relevant?
It's relevant to me, and but it's not mainstream. Most people are like, yeah, but I want gas, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like some of those green initiatives. I think that for science is brilliant. You know, the way to have clean water and using scientific are natural things in science. But I don't, when I think about someone going into someone's DNA, or you can even have, imagine, you could have all the rich people in the world, if they get that DNA manipulated, they can make these, like, perfect children in this. Well, what is perfect? But do you get what I mean?
Yeah. Have you seen, what is it? Was it Gattaca? Have you seen Gattaca?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You'll love it. That's why I love science fiction, because it, like, takes all these ideas and questions and then puts it in a story so that we can, like, remember it and think about it. Watch it. It's Gattaca. It's a story basically that, where, like, the elite become genetically perfect.
Yeah.
And then the society is separated along genetic lines. And so if you are not modified and perfect, then you can't do certain things. You can't live in certain areas. And it's just about a story about a guy who's able to fake it and, like, excel. And it's, like, a revolutionary thing. And it questions the very idea of perfection.
All right. That sounds right up my street. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah. I'll send you a link. But it's one of my favorite movies. Gotta go. But,
yeah,
but it's definitely exactly what we're saying. And my mom's always like, I don't want to be around for all this. And I'm like, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? Hopefully I can, like, make my own universe and, like, go there.
Yeah, hopefully you can do that. Like Total Recall, go live on Mars.
Yeah, or... we'll end up like the Matrix, where everyone's like, I made my own world, just plug me in, you know? I don't know if that's so good, but...
What would your own world be?
Good question. My own world... See, I can't even create it because I'm so human, you know? Like, I think what we see as far as conflict is just like an inevitable aspect of being human, you know? So
what do you mean, sir? I don't understand.
I mean, did I say that right? So I'm hungry and tired. So what I mean is, say for instance, you want to build a utopia. Utopias always turn into like craziness, you know, because there's always some sense of jealousy. There's always, you know, if it's not material, someone is coveting something else, power, you know, beauty. And humans seem like they're always trying to, like, you know, compare what's of greater value on a constant basis, so in every aspect of their lives. So I feel like you can have a utopia where there's no conflict or anything like that, and then conflict will still arise, you know? So maybe in my hologram, like my fake virtual world, there'll never be conflict. You know, everything will be like a dance-off, you know, a Vogue walk-off or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll do like, a conflict can be resolved with like, who can cook the best, you know, and like, so maybe a utopia for me would not be conflict-free, but we would do non-lethal, non-like damaging things in order to settle our disagreements.
Wow, that is interesting. Non-lethal, non-damaging things to settle agreements, disagreements. Yeah.
You know, it's all about communication. If you can get someone to understand your perspective and you also understand theirs, and then everyone doesn't feel like they're getting something taken away from them.
But that's the thing, though. Some people, some people, they can't go along with what you've just said, because if they lose a disagreement or they feel they've been proven to be incorrect, it's like they just want to go under a rock and die.
I know. I understand, like, I hate being wrong, but when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, life goes on.
But
like,
the great thing about being wrong is you learn something new.
Exactly. You're enlightened. Yeah. Stop saying wrong. You've been enlightened.
Yeah. You've been, yeah.
Oh yeah, your top three songs. Can I get your top three songs?
Yeah, it's such a tough one.
I know.
It is unbelievably tough.
I know.
it goes in phases of life, I think, for me.
It's okay. It's just like whatever comes off of the top of your head, that's going to be the flavor of your podcast, so...
All right, okay. Off the top of my head, man, this is so hard. Okay.
That's my evil laugh.
I really like Crazy by Seal.
Crazy by Seal?
Yeah.
Seal's
a British singer, but he's based in America. He's been there for maybe 15 years now, I think.
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, and the second, let's say Wow by Freddie Hubbard. That's a jazz song. And third.
Oh, but what was the song?
Little Sunflower.
Little Sound Flower?
Sunflower.
Song Flower?
Sun, like the sun.
Oh, sunflower.
Sorry, my English is terrible.
No, your English is great. I'm like, what? Little Sunflower by, say it again.
Freddie Hubbard.
Freddie Herbert.
Hubbard.
Okay.
He's American. He's a jazz,
okay.
Jazz guy.
I'm sure Google will know what I'm trying to spell.
Let's hope so. And I really like Paranoid Android by Radiohead.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
A real fan of Radiohead. I really admire the way they've developed over the years. They've gone from like angry teenagers slamming doors in their house, not liking their mum, it sounds like. It's like these, you know, really kind of interesting musicians. So I like Radiohead.
Sweet. And cool. Is there anything? Oh, did I ask you? How can we find you online?
Yes, I think you did. I said the best place.
Okay. If I did, go ahead, say it again. I can edit it out if I already said it.
The best place to find me would be on Twitter, at Damien Swaby, SWABY Swaby. And I'm on Instagram as well. That's Damien _Swaby_videographer.
Perfect. I'll put that in the links. And you have a Vimeo.
Oh, yes. Damien Swaby on Vimeo. Yes.
Yes. Awesome. And is there anything you want to promote that you haven't mentioned yet? Any particular video or event or anything that's important to you?
At the moment, No, I think I've said it all, really. I think I remember you said something about my favorite films.
Oh, yes. Give me top three favorite films.
Top three favorite films is another. I give you top three sci-fi ones because the science podcast.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
All right. So I don't know if it's slightly classed as sci-fi, but the last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle film was brilliant. I love the family dynamic. I felt for Leonardo. Really good. The intro, the pace, the energy, you know, is one of those, you know, those really fun popcorn films that's got a bit more to it.
Awesome. Okay.
So I love that one. And I also love the first Matrix film. That is absolutely brilliant. Would you take the pill?
I think about that every day. I still don't know. I don't know. What would you?
At the time I said no. Now I'd say, sod it, why not?
Right? I'm torn now. I'm like,
it can't be any better than this.
I'm really like torn now because that's part of the reason why I overslept because I, of course, was online and I saw there was a new shooting and I was just like, oh, I can't even breathe. Like, I feel so sick. And then I fell asleep and I forgot that I had anything good.
Oh, there's a new, I didn't even know. I haven't been online.
I know.
There's another one.
There's always another one.
Wow. I can't keep up.
I know. I don't want to go into it on this one, but
yes, sorry.
Would I take the pill? I don't know. I don't know. I still don't know. I'll think about this.
Okay.
Would you guys take the pill, audience?
Audience. Okay. The audience would.
You think so?
Maybe. I'm just guessing. I'm being ignorant.
Or not ignorant. I don't think so. Maybe if you people should just comment and let me know. Would you guys take the pill? What do you think? And why would you if you did? Or why would you not? But on to your next movie.
Next one is a film called Akira. It's a Japanese animation film brought to us by manga. It was released in 86, I think, or 87. But if you watch it now, or just even look at the trailer, it's one of the most beautiful animation films of all time. And the story, it's got a scientific twist and where we are in the world and how the world's going to change and move. Brilliant. I really recommend Akira. It's one of my, you know, it's a long film and it's great. And I just think I really like the way that part of the world sees the rest of the world making films like that.
Cool. I'm gonna have to check that out. I've tried to get through the movie a few times, but that watching movies is kind of hard for me because my attention span is short. But I'm like, I'm going to give it another try because I miss out on so much of what people are saying, especially that movie. I think I've tried 3 or 4 times to get through it.
Okay.
But I always start it when I was sleepy. So I'm going to try, like, you know, with some tea. Lunchtime. Yeah, that's a good idea. Lunchtime. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Do it.
Well, that. Sweet, sweet, sweet. All right, then. Well, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate yours.
Awesome. Well, that is the end of this podcast.
Cool.
Bye, you guys.
See you soon. Bye.
But don't hang up. Okay. I do want to ask you real quick. Can you say your name and that you're with the Dope Science Show and so I can put that in the intro?
Oh, the kind of intro thing. Intro.
Yeah.
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 Okay. My name's Damien Swaby, and I'm here on the Dope Science Show, the best podcast out there today.
Yeah! And with that, thank you so much for listening to the show. Next episode, we will talk to my good friend David Beck about what it was like coming up and becoming a black engineer. And he's going to share a little bit more about one of his passions about competitive robotics programs for kids. I thought it was really cool, enlightening. I'm into robots.
In the comments, let me know what else you'd want me to talk about. Any subjects, any questions, or refer someone you think you would be cool on the show. That would be awesome. And with that, peace.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.